And somehow in the northern hemisphere of the Western world, we know that Christmas has definitely arrived when you have Jingle and Bell and Noel and Velvet actually being on view daily at the Los Angeles Zoo, and you've got the Los Angeles Zoo Association lights, and even more importantly, about to make her debut on the Midweek Drive, we have the fabulous individual who is really in many ways the mastermind, the mistress mind, you might almost say, behind some of the exciting things we're about to hear, focusing on the Los Angeles Zoo Association. It is indeed the Vice President, Marketing and Communications for the Greater Los Angeles Zoo Association, the truly fantastic Kate Hilliard. How are you, Kate?
I'm doing great. What a lovely introduction.
It's always important when we have our Los Angeles, America with Lincoln, England, as opposed to Lincoln, Nebraska, easily confused. You know, one has a cathedral, one doesn't, that we keep those connections going. But we were having a look at some of the video that some of our colleagues on obviously Fox TV and indeed some of the local Los Angeles TV stations have actually been running. And you've been opening up some really magical things with respect to live reindeer and, of course, the LA Zoo lights.
Yes, it's been a wonderful project we've been working on for about a year to pull together and create something really magical for the citizens of Los Angeles. Different than, you know, what many people do here in LA is they drive around neighborhoods where people have gone all out decorating their houses. And we wanted to provide something that was a little more magical than that and a little more technically advanced and really exciting.
We were speaking to our regular correspondent from Nashville, Cameron Tilbury, who actually shocked us and said he's never been to Los Angeles. He said, well, what better way to actually take the opportunity to go and check out the Los Angeles Zoo Association? Because the LA Zoo lights, I think they used to be there a few years ago, but then there was a moment where they effectively went to one side. I don't know, maybe it was a case of you thought you needed to give the animals some rest, etc. But, you know, they have returned, and they've returned in full force this year, haven't they?
Yes, so actually, in the past, the Department of Water and Power of the City of Los Angeles, DWP, hosted a light festival. It was outside the zoo, and people could drive through, and it was very popular. It was about, I think, half a mile long, and they had 50,000 cars come through there each year in December, so it was very popular. But that street was under construction to improve some infrastructure. And so it went dark for a year and then it just didn't come back. And so our city council member, who's a great advocate for the zoo, you know, really pushed to find someplace in Griffith Park, which is our large urban park here in Los Angeles, a really unique aspect of LA actually, to bring it back here. And so we did, but we borrowed a few things from the Department of Water and Power, but we really wanted to do something bigger and bolder. You know, we're in the entertainment capital of the world. So we felt like we needed to step it up a little from, you know, the traditional sort of lighted wireframe animals.
Well, certainly if we're looking for the techno wizardry that nobody's ever actually seen before, it's designed by a team that are renowned for creating light shows for festivals, stadiums, arenas, clubs, and artists like Daft Punk, Kanye West, etc. It seems as though what you've actually done there is the ideal immersive experience. You can actually go and see the animals by day, and then as they actually go to their beddy-byes and various other bits and pieces, unless, of course, they're nocturnal, and indeed they're booked for the season like reindeer and so on, then you get that whole thing coming alive, really, which seems, you know, again, you've brought the magic just to the city, it would seem.
Yes, we were so excited to have the opportunity to partner with Bionic League and the art director, Greg Lacey, who really stepped up to the plate with us and came up with a whole new vision and a storyline for it. So as you said, when the animals are snug in bed, the LED animals come out to play. So it's really wonderful. At the entrance to the zoo, there's a troop of LED monkeys that are swinging across the plaza, and they've commandeered the main power supply to the zoo and fashioned a holiday tree around it in their own vision. It's a little different than your average holiday tree. But they are going to throw a party for their animal friends here at the zoo, all the lit up animals. And so as people move through the zoo, these monkeys travel along to the different exhibits, collecting their animal friends, and ultimately arriving at a Hollywood premiere where they're all driving in on freeways, on cars, with L.A. landmarks in the background. We've got the Griffith Observatory and the Hollywood sign and the L.A. city skyline. It's quite quite exciting.
Oh, we've actually had a text in from one of our regular co-presenters, Emma Tinson, who had to leave us today with the classic line that the LA zoo sounds great. If only we had reindeer at the Lincoln Christmas Market, because that's where we just we have our 4 days of a market, which on this side of the Atlantic we celebrate with Neustadt an der Weinstraße, German town that we're actually twinned with. So interesting from that point of view. But I have to say, in terms of overall standard, the thing that astounded me, Kate, about this whole thing, I was looking at the whole system and I thought, surely there's some sort of typo here. There must be a misprint. Ticket. It's $13 for adults, $11 for kids. I mean, surely, that kind of entertainment value, you're looking at $130 minimum, aren't you? Surely, $110, you know, I can't believe it. What are you, it's amazing. I mean, obviously, value for money in every sense of the word, because it really does sound as though you've got the ideal, perfect family outing there.
It really is. And, you know, where else can you see reindeer up close and personal? And, you know, there's some really different things you won't see anywhere else. 3D projection mapping and laser lights, and we have an interactive chandelier from one of our sponsors. They built this whole technology based thing. So lots, and there's Santa. Santa's visiting us too. So
it's just astounding. Now I'm looking at lazoolights.org to actually get a flavour of this whole system. It could be Lazoo Lights in many ways, and just in terms of that, LA Zoo nightly self-guided tours. You're actually say between 60 and 90 minutes that the thing is working through there. Do you think that this whole sort of system does seem to be working? But I'm pleased to see that on the website you address something which I know people will be concerned about: were the lights actually harmful to the animals? Do they actually keep them awake? Because the last thing you want is for the animals to say, darn this festivity holiday season, we're trying to get some sleep here.
Right, right. We did work very closely with the animal care staff, because, of course, that's our top priority, is protecting and caring for these creatures that are in our care. And so most of the route is placed in areas where we don't have animal exhibits. And then where we do, we've ensured that they can still get, you know, a full night's sleep, full 7 hours of darkness in their areas. And then there's some animals who, you know, have a choice of whether they go in at night into their barn or if they stay out. One of those is Billy the elephant, and he actually loves to come and check out the people. He's a real people watcher. And he also loves to watch our laser light show. So definitely, it's an upside for him. It's kind of an entertainment, nightly entertainment for the elephant.
Looking at some of the backgrounds to the Los Angeles Zoo and Botanical Gardens, amazing numbers here. 1.6 million visitors each year attend, home to a diverse collection of 1,100 animals representing 250 different species, many of which are rare or endangered. I think it's important to note, I know that sometimes sort of people say, oh, shouldn't the animals be in the wild and so on? Actually, if it wasn't for the excellent work that's being done by things like the Los Angeles Zoo Association, you know, many of these animals might actually be well on the way to extinction. It's important that we act in our capacity as stewards for the planet to ensure that things are developed from that point of view. 7,000 individual plants, 800 different plant species. I mean, surely from the marketing perspective, this must be just a dream. I mean, you don't have to do anything, Kate, do you? It's just a case of it's all there. It sells itself, surely.
Well, you know, Los Angeles has a lot of choices when it comes to entertainment. So we do have some competing opportunities here. But, yes, we are one of a kind in terms of having this wonderful animal collection. And we really, you know, focus on getting kids and adults to come and see animals that otherwise they'd never have an opportunity to see, so that they can learn more about them and have a greater affinity for their larger habitat. You know, to see an elephant up close or a tiger up close and understand that their numbers are dwindling rapidly, and without intervention and protection from the humans, they just won't be present anymore.
Indeed. Elephants, gorillas, chimps, Sumatran tigers, warty pigs, snow leopards, lions, a rhino, orangutans. Let's move on to the hippopotamus, though, because I gather that you had a new baby hippo that was born on October the 31st. Yes, it wasn't a trick. It wasn't a treat. It was certainly a treat. It was Halloween.
Yes, it was a treat.
What have we named the hippo?
We have not yet named the
Ooh.
Hippo. She is waiting for some lucky person to seize that opportunity. Mm-hmm. We did recently learn that it's a baby girl, and it was quite a treat on Halloween afternoon to all of a sudden realize that this 6,000-pound mother hippo was going to give birth on exhibit in front of the public. I can tell you not a lot of work got done that afternoon in my office. We were up there watching and waiting, as any expectant and proud parent would be. And she's absolutely adorable. I mean, it's the cutest, wrinkliest thing you've ever seen, and could swim as soon as she was born. So just a really amazing experience. And the first time in 26 years at the LA Zoo.
Well, you see, this is the, I mean, we've been trying a year or so with the fabulous sort of folk, with Laura and Libby, to actually sort of connect with you guys there. And I thought this is wonderful in all sorts of ways. We know a lot of sort of actors, obviously, and some of our colleagues in the entertainment industry work with the Los Angeles Zoo and do various mm-hmm. other facts as well. But in addition to that, I mean, it's almost as though you've got sort of the zoo babies, because you've got 5 baby chimps and a newborn giraffe. Is there something in the water?
It's either something in the water. We're all being very careful now around here. Uh-huh. But you would think it was spring at the zoo.
What?
We've had 2 baby chimps just born in the last couple of months, and we have 5 in total that are under 3, so they're definitely still considered infants. We have a newborn giraffe on exhibit just a week or so ago. We have some others that are still to be announced. But it's quite an amazing season. No one really would expect in December to be having a house full of babies, but certainly
there was a precedent, of course, I suppose. I mean, arguably, in the Christian calendar, there is a precedent for actually a baby being born in December. So, you know,
I mean, different
species, admittedly, but, you know, there is a sort of line we can work on this particular basis.
Yeah.
Holiday season and everything.
You know, as marketers, we can make a story out of anything.
Well,
right?
it's a possibility, but you have to be a little bit sensitive, I think. You want to sort of, yes. we're dealing with areas of that perspective. Okay, briefly, just to sort of wrap up the sequence, are tickets still available? I mean, people, obviously, the whole LA Zoo Lights has actually started now. It's into the first week of operations. I mean, clearly, it's there. If you want to check out when Santa is actually going to be there, if you fancy getting on a plane and various other bits and pieces, those are actually there. Are you, presumably, though, you're already planning ahead for 2015 and some exciting things that will be coming to the LA Zoo then?
Oh, for sure. Of course, we're planning to expand Zoo Lights for next year, and we'll be opening our Jaguar exhibit in February. So that'll be really exciting. And it's always growing and changing around here. It's never the same experience twice. So I really encourage everyone to come out.
We haven't, of course, had a chance to talk about the largest flock of flamingos in any zoo in the world. Meerkats, my own personal favorite. What's not to appreciate about a meerkat? I mean, it's just wonderful. It's simple in every sense of the word. So the meerkats are there, etc. There's so much we could actually sort of shoot the breeze over. It's generally sort of fantastic stuff. But we need to ask you those last two questions. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut with us on the Midweek Drive today? Has it been okay for you?
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, well, the next critical question is, can we look forward to, hopefully, as we head through 2015, connecting with you again in the very near future, and actually keep us appraised of all the exciting things that are actually there? Because I do think that actually it's one of those things people know about the Chinese theatre, they might know about all the other sort of Hollywood trips and the studios, etc. But this is something which I think, in terms of LA Zoo, from an international perspective, it's always nice to celebrate and talk about, obviously, the excellent work that you actually do. So will you return?
Of course, and we would also like to invite anyone to stop by who's in town.
Well, actually, we do have several Los Angeles correspondents, so I think certainly Phil Leonis and Ilana Rain and so on, I think we should actually sort of set up a whole link of that, and sort of maybe they could actually host an episode of Chilpack Hollywood from the LA Zoo. That would be Dean Haglund, and that would be an interesting one.
I would love that.
And your final choice, actually, before we sort of salute you and say farewell and head off to singer-songwriter Caroline Hoyos, Kate, musical choices. We can offer you either the very cliched Pink Elephants on Parade, obviously from the movie Dumbo, and, of course, it would also slot into terms of our Disney routine for Emma Tennyson's flatmate Laura. Alternatively, we could go Me and the Elephant, We'll Never Forget You, which is always a nice one, Justin McGurk, or Simon and Garfunkel at the Zoo. I think you can see what we kind of thought we'd do here in terms of the construction of the whole system. So what's
that? Was very thoughtful.
So are you going to go Simon and Garfunkel? Are you going to go Disneyland Chorus? Or are you going to go Justin McGurk and Me and the Elephant? Where are you going to take the listener?
to go Simon and Garfunkel.
I think that's ultimately the best choice. Kate, from the Los Angeles Zoo Association, Vice President of Marketing Communications, Kate Hilliard, we salute you. Take care now.
All right, have a wonderful day.
It's all happening at the zoo. I do believe it. I do believe it's true. It's a light and tumble journey from the east side to the park. Just a fine and fancy ramble to the zoo. But you can take a crosstown bus if it's raining or it's cold. And the animals will love it if you do. It's all happening at the zoo. I do believe it. I do believe it's true. The monkeys stand for honesty. Giraffes are insincere. And the elephants are kindly. I'm a zoo.
Yes, I think it works in every sense of the word, really. Okay, from the Vice President of Marketing Communications for the Greater Los Angeles Zoo Association, Kate Hilliard. Actually, we mentioned possibly hosting a Chilpack Hollywood set up there. Obviously, that's Phil Leonis and Dean Hagland who make that ultimate decision. Quite rightly so, too. Maybe we should actually get a singular performance of that ace singer-songwriter Carolina Hoyos there as well. I think that would be adds to the whole quality of the Los Angeles Zoo even more in all sorts of ways, wouldn't it, Carolina? How are you, anyway?
Good, how are you?
Excellent. Delighted to feature you on the program. You come with the Leonis Gilted Seal of Approval in all sorts of ways. And also, I believe, a connection with clearly native voices from our other good friends, Randy Reinholtz and Jean Bruce Scott, of course.
Yes, yes. I've been working with them for probably the better half of the year. With one of the comedy troupes and also with the theater ensemble. They're amazing people. Amazing.
We only have amazing people on the Midweek Drive, which is why you're with us, Carolina. So that's just, we need to die with that.
Thank you.
We will listen in a few minutes to just one of the classic sort of tunes you put together. We'll probably sort of squeeze in a couple as well, because the narrative and the story that's put together is phenomenal. And you've also taken that journey from really sort of New York through to Los Angeles. I mean, would you consider yourself a citizen of America in general, or sort of East Coast, West Coast? Where do you gravitate to? Or are you going to sort of shock everybody and say, no, actually, I've always considered myself a middle American person, Kansas, really?
Well, I consider myself West Coast, but I have an affinity for the UK, actually. I want to spend more time there.
Well, Carolina, we need to see you in Lincoln. You need that shaft of sunshine that can actually sort of come along to connect with the UK in every sense of the word. Looking at some of the credits that you've actually sort of put together from Pharrell Williams, Happy, and so on, well, you're very impressive in that. I think it probably actually made the whole sequence when you did that little dance through the kind of, almost a kind of back lot of a sort of baseball yard that you're working in there. And indeed, your role in I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, I was very surprised, but still, it was amazing. Genuinely wonderful. And of course, now we sort of come around to the notion of your music, which is, again, proving multi-talented, multitasking. A lot of multi-talented folk on the show today. And from that perspective, Carolina, we actually come to a range of classical routines. I mean, is the music something that's always been with you and always been part of the whole sort of growing up system? I mean, there's a very personal story we're going to sort of share with the listener in a few moments in terms of how, it's helped with your father and a whole range of other connections with that. But, in terms of music, has it always been an intrinsic part of your life as you've grown up and developed and become more chronologically gifted?
Oh, of course. I mean, I've been basically playing since I was two. And it was more of an instinct. I wasn't really aware of it. So I was a classical concert pianist until I was about 12, competing and everything, and everything kind of developed from there. And it's something that I've explored other paths, but it's always brought me back to music. There's no denying it. It's kind of just an instinct.
Well, we're going to now experience the true wonderment of Your Good Self in full action. It's not going to be the Girl I Know selection. It's going to be something which, is it referred to as just the sun, or is it the sun mastered? I mean, what do we, how do we refer to this next particular piece?
It's the sun.
It is the sun.
Yeah,
I thought
it's
it
girl
was.
I know, but
yeah,
it's the sun.
I thought it was the sun. You know, the master version of the master. It's musical speak. It said, "This one blew me away. I think it's absolutely sensational." If you stay with us, we'll come back and chat with you more about obviously the whole thing and also how you. Yes, that's you, dear listener, wherever you happen to be, whether you're listening in Lincoln, live, present on the Midwick Drive, whether you're listening online or whether you're listening via podcast, how you can actually support Carolina Hoyas and also get one of those wonderful sort of bonuses for being part of the whole Kickstarter thing, including, I've got to ask you, the little dog, Carolina. I mean, you know, the little dog that you feature in the video. Interesting. You know, it just tugs at everybody's heartstrings. We've got all this and more to speak about on the Midweek Drive, but now it's Carolina Hoyas with the sun.
So long now, I'm gone, I hold on, there's a better way. When you see the sun, does it sting, does it bring the happiness you craved? Are you saved?
And if that doesn't deserve a full open-air performance at the Los Angeles Zoo, I don't know what does. Superb. Absolutely. Fantastic. Carolina, brilliant stuff there. Fantastic. The sun. We'll be playing it quite frequently, even though you might think it's ironic, because obviously we're talking about the winter sun now, as opposed to, obviously, the summer sun. So, never mind.
That's right.
We are very, very close to actually securing, you're very close to securing the full funding to ensure that a full album can actually be made in every sense of the word with respect to this. And it's your debut solo album. So that again, it's the fabulous Carolina Hoyas' debut solo album dedicated to your dad and his fight with cancer, because cancer sucks, but love rules, and you're winning. So good news there. Share with us that little narrative, because it is, I mean, you feature it obviously, and it's on the website. You can actually go to carolinahoyas.com, and then you can actually go directly to the site from there and access the thing from Kickstarter in terms of that sequence. But share with us that narrative for the benefit of our listener who sort of think, I know the girl's wonderful in terms of singing fantastic tunes, and she's great from that perspective, and she's obviously a fine soul, but what's this particular life story that really people can also get to help you with and also support?
Well, there's statistics that show that anyone that has cancer and is going through treatment benefits greatly from having a really strong support group, a really strong support system, and someone to take them to all their appointments and to make sure that they're taking care of themselves and kind of not giving up on the process. So when I offered to help my dad and overhaul his whole lifestyle and his diet and everything, he agreed and he jumped on board with me. But it's easy for someone to stop with the new diet, the new lifestyle, and you know, it's hard to keep up with that and change, especially at his age. It's hard to establish those new habits. So I had given this up in order to help him. We finished this record 2 years ago, actually. And I had given it up to help him, and me coming back to release it is me saying to him, listen, I'm not going to give up on this, and neither should you. So if I'm doing this, you should stick with it too. And so far it's working. He's here and he's enjoying the whole process. So.
Absolutely. And in the video, is it Hawaii that you're based in? I mean, on the photograph of the website, is that Hawaii, or is that simply a case of, no, it's some sort of studio backlot in Los Angeles?
No, we actually did go to Hawaii. It was the year before he was diagnosed.
Right.
and I took him with me for my birthday. So yeah, that was actually Hawaii, but no, that was that was before.
Okay. For those folk who are sort of looking at this Kickstarter, obviously it's Northern Nothing campaign. You need to reach the goal of $10,000 by 11:59 p.m. on December the 5th. So time is a moving. So you've only got about 24 hours. So get on there, you know, move, etc. Costs obviously can be daunting when you actually make your record, but it is there. It's relatively $10,000. It's not there. I mean, actually, if you're looking for the full cost to make it full, it's close to $40,000. But you know, it'll be there. It will happen, because if you get the $10,000, obviously you get the EP version of The Lost Tapes, which will be there, and you've got a budget breakdown. Everything is actually there. What sort of stage are we at present, Carolina, in terms of how it's going and raising? I mean, it seems to be quite good from what we're looking at present, but obviously every little helps.
Well, it does, and it's been an exciting journey, because I've been able to reconnect with people that I haven't seen since childhood or talked to, and I've met so many new friends, and it's been a great way to introduce everything that I'm trying to do with my father, and then also bring more awareness to even mental health issues. I know a lot of cultures still think that there's a taboo behind it, but I want people to know that there's other answers out there. And then as well, just people are getting to know my work. It's all around. It's been such a wonderful experience.
And now we clearly have to mention those two words that I'm sure will have people saying, who, where, what? But yes, it's a little superheroine. It's a service dog, and the name is Liz Lemon. So go on, talk to us about Liz Lemon. We need to know more. Where does Liz Lemon fit into the whole sequence?
Well, when my father started radiation treatment, she came with us. I had just started fostering her and ended up adopting her. But the nurses at the radiation center noticed how she would check in with all of the patients. And even these people were so positively affected by her that either weren't dog people or weren't even into animals, period. So I explored having her work as a therapy dog and started training her. But then as soon as my father finished treatment and he was, you know, A-OK, I had exhausted myself. And I have PTSD, and I had a relapse that kind of set me far back. I felt like we were winning because my dad was all healthy, but I forgot about myself.
the PTSD, that post-traumatic stress disorder, presumably we're looking at from that perspective.
Yes.
Okay. And is that as a result of, well, can you share with us in terms of why sort of PTSD sort of affected you? Yeah.
Well, so there's so many things that can cause it, but it's common that it will be developed with somebody that has physical, mental, or sexual abuse and isn't able to process it properly. Right. So then it develops into a feeling of terror on the smallest, slightest things.
Sure.
So it's an unnatural response to danger, whereas there's a good reason to have, you know, fear, but not to the levels of PTSD.
It's fight or flight. And I think, obviously, there is a suggestion that obviously PTSD connects mostly with people who have served in combat or they've been overseas and, you know, for a long time. So that was why I was just interested in, so far as I wasn't sure they'd be going head-to-head with the Taliban or something. But that probably, presumably not, but still, you never know. clearly, so it sort of impacts on that. But I do presume that Liz Lemon is the doggy that we see in the video for the actual the girl. Yes, that is it. It's just as well, is all I can say. We don't actually have Holly Parker, Jessica Ward, or Emma Tinson, or indeed Sophie with us as our usual midweek drivettes, because all you'd be able to hear now, I guarantee, would be the sound of etc. It's truly wonderful. And obviously Liz Lemon doing a whole stack of things from that point of view. As the thing proceeds, we had a little question that actually came in directly from our chat with Paul Terry in the earlier part of the production, which I asked about. I was bemused by, because clearly, and I presume halfway through the interview, he says it is pronounced Carolina Hoyos. Is that correct?
Right.
Or is it? Because I just want, yeah, that's okay. Cause you never know. You would have said, "I'm sorry." You're, you know, English across the Atlantic. Who knows what problems we could actually have with that sort of basis? But in terms of the other sort of way, it's also known as, a.k.a., The Girl I Know, which I thought was interesting, because surely if you know the girl, it's not also known as. Perhaps I'm just too much of a language person in terms of that. But we're going to actually hear this in a few moments, which is I'll Find the Time by A Girl I Know. Is that, it's a bit like the artist formerly known as Prince. Is that sort of the, is that an alter ego that we're working on here?
You know, it's kind of, that was kind of an influence on the name. There's a song that's on the record that has the lyrics that say "A Girl I Know," and I kind of picked it up from that and thought that would be a neat name, and it's kind of separate from me and separate from the acting, and it's kind of vague. And I thought it would be funny if people said, "I'm going to see a girl I know," or "I'm listening to a girl I know," and somebody else might get upset.
Particularly when you use the term, "I'm listening to a record," people look at that and say, "Vinyl? What's that?" No, I know it's coming back in fashion. You know, digital downloads, it's all very strange from that point of view. But yes, the video does indeed feature a genuine vinyl piece as well. Fantastic. Carolina, it's been fantastic. I mean, as we say, director, comedienne, singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, just phenomenal in all sorts of ways. I mean, we haven't even sort of got into your bilinguicity with respect to English and Spanish by the time you were three, but music is your first language, so technically it's trilingual. Exactly. So great stuff there. Again, a reminder that without pushing it too much, but we will in any case go to a Kickstarter, a fund for A Girl I Know, The Lost Tapes, and every penny helps, quite literally, or indeed sort of, you know, 50p, which that almost half a dollar. I don't know, exchange rates these days, you can coordinate in all sorts of ways from that perspective across the Atlantic. But we do need to ask you two final questions at this stage, Carolina. First and foremost, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the production today?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Has it been okay for you? Has this debut been passable? Have you enjoyed your time on the show?
Oh, yeah, this has been great.
That's okay.
This has been amazing.
That's all right, you know. Yeah. You know, maybe not amazing on the first. Yeah, amazing usually get into the sort of second, third, and fourth routines. That's why we sort of ask Phil Leonis. He'll tell you from that point of view. Stay with us. I'm not going to ask you the second questions yet because I want you to actually stay with us whilst we listen to A Girl I Know and I'll Find the Time. But would you like to introduce it, Carolina, in your own way and say how people can actually get to fund this via Kickstarter and get the whole album?
This is one of the first songs that I wrote on this record. It inspired me to make the rest. It's called I'll Find the Time, and you can help support the album at mylosttapes.com.
That's absolutely fantastic. In fact, we will ask you that, so that's your second question, because we'll use this as the bridge between yourself. Whereabouts in Los Angeles are you based at present, Carolina? Or are you going to say, no, I'm actually in Newark, New Jersey?
I'm in Hollywood, actually. I just moved to Hollywood from downtown.
And has Phil Leonis and Dean Hagler, have they invited you onto the Chilpack Hollywood Hours yet?
No, not yet.
Well, they should do. They had a wonderful star director on this week, and that was very good, but I think they should certainly actually book you as soon as possible from that point of view. So there we are. Let's just sort of make sure that connection's there. I'll have words with them. Anyway, Carolina, the final question for yourself before we actually head into I'll Find the Time with A Girl I Know. Will you return to the show and keep us appraised of how things are going?
Of course, definitely.
Yay!
Anytime.
The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Hits your eyes, that's when you'll find that sunny days are mine. Whoa, I've put the rest behind me. That's the day that you'll see.
This is Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voiceover artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonis!
Never knowingly undersold. So, Phil, here we are, a bit of flesh and blood afloat in a universe without end. That's how you do it, by remembering who and what you are. As I cited to Cameron Tilbury earlier in the production, how are you this fine Wednesday morning in Los Angeles when it's a fairly cold and chilly, brisk 6:40 p.m. in the city of Lincoln, England?
I am concerned you never asked the second question to Carolina.
Yes, I did.
I thought you asked her yep, to introduce the song, and you were going to ask her the second
I did, and if you play the podcast back, if you're not listening live to this at present, and you're waiting for the podcast...
How can I do that?
You can go to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, or just go to the Midweek Drive page on sirenonline.co.uk and click on podcasts, and it'll take you directly there. Magic. Or you can like us on Facebook as well, you know.
A weight off my mind.
Exactly. And in many ways, it did receive, as I said, the Leonis seal of approval. I hope, Phil, you haven't minded that I've been quite actively, proactively, some might say, booking guests for future Chillpack Hollywood activities. You know,
I book guests for the Midweek Drive.
Well, there we are. It's all splendid stuff, etc. But yeah, I think.
It's part of a transatlantic broadcasting friendship.
Precisely. Precisely so. And long may it continue, as we say. Even though, as
Alex Luttrick, also known as Alex Luttrick, you've been alone. No co-presenters. Why is that? What's taking place this week there prevented the co-presenters?
Well, we did have Emma Tinson for the first 40 minutes of the show.
And,
right. So she was there as we were going through Cameron Tilbury's selection, Anna Lewis, Paul Terry, the author and editor of The Top 10 of Everything. If you'd like to win a copy of The Top 10 of Everything, simply answer the following question. Name the author who wrote The Raw Shark Texts. That's The Raw Shark Texts. Send your answer in to studio@sirenonline.co.uk and obviously your contact details, and you could win The Top 10 of Everything 2015. Then, of course, we had the last Siren news of 2014. Don't worry, they'll be back with more news sometime towards the middle of January 2015. Okay, in between.
So there's going to be no news. I mean, nothing's going to take place between now and then that they would want to cover.
Nothing that we can't encompass within our usual links of the Midweek Drive, which, again, will take a mini hiatus, but not for another couple of weeks. We've still got two more Wednesday shows.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's not that I'm terribly upset about the dearth of co-presenters. In fact, as you know, I don't think these kids can steer. Well, there's a good quote.
Sometimes,
there's a good Star Trek
sometimes
quote for you.
We're going to have to ask them to grow up a little bit quicker than they'd expected.
But my question was, what is going on? Is it finals week? Are there exams?
Well, this is very good. I mean, I could break it down into who knows with Jessica Ward, actually. And it's a pity because I was just about to say, Phil, how is the progress going in terms of the Phil Leonis customised, bespoke, genuine 5-carat gold or even 68-carat gold Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward jingles that I know yourself and Lily and the team are actually working busily on? You know, every second you're not actually doing post-production on The Lady Killers. It's a case of let's do some more jingles for co-presenters on the Midweek Drive. Jessica,
you make a very good point.
We are. Jessica has been, I don't know. I mean, both Jessica and Emma were with me doing co-presentational duties on our last audio postcard, which was from the Lincoln Agricultural Society's very own Epic Centre, in which we were covering last Friday, effectively, the official food and gift fair. And then Emma actually returned for the first part of the programme. Emma was feeling a little bit poorly, but she did say she's listening in. She did actually text in. Whether she's still listening in, I don't know. Maybe the mention of Pink Elephants on Parade and, of course, the fact that we haven't as yet featured a Disney tune for her flatmate, Laura, could have actually impacted that. I don't know. Holly Parker felt that she had to sort of just kind of psych herself up because she considered she got a bit of a negative mark on her first postgraduate essay for her course. I've actually assured her it was a good mark, and she needs to be seen in that sort of principle, and it is actually all's well. But she didn't. She felt she wasn't ready for the thing at this stage. And Sophie Grayson, of course, who was all set to actually join us as well, is doing her stuff as a lifesaver, and has assured us she'll be back next week. Of course, when she's not an undergraduate student, she is indeed a superheroine who acts as a lifeguard and actually saves lives. So that's the breakdown. Into obviously, we can go further. We can say Natalie Tuck's in London. We can say Katie Grimerson is currently in Birmingham. And as Katie would regularly said, does Phil ever ask after me these days? In a kind of wonderful way. Exactly. And Ed Wellman, of course, that other classic Midwick drivet. Well, he's psyching himself up for actually being one of the trio from Siren, at least. There are others from Lincoln City Radio who will be actually sort of hosting the official opening of the Christmas market tomorrow, which, of course, is when Lincoln is twinned with Neustadt and der Weinstrasse. So, you know, that's kind of the breakdown in terms of why they decided, or maybe they just couldn't stand me anymore, and they just said, that's it, we've had enough. I don't know. You know, it's always difficult to suss out the sort of rationale, really. All we can say, Phil, is sometimes you just have to keep the show going. That's the important thing. It must go on.
And as a result, the studio feels like a house where all the children
have grown. Yeah, see, this is fantastic. Exactly. It's,
you referenced this week's Chilpack Hollywood Hour, where we had John Allen Simon, the writer, producer, director of the
Radio Free Albemuth
movie adaptation. Absolutely. And he was, for many, many years, an accomplished journalist and an esteemed film critic and music critic before getting into the film business. And someone like me who's come at the film business from many different sides, not only as a filmmaker, but as I mentioned earlier, as a print journalist and also as an executive, financing, marketing, and selling films. So that was great fun. And, of course, we got to discuss a great deal about Philip K. Dick and science fiction. Two things we didn't get to discuss, and it's very tough for us, and the reason that Carolina, I only found out about her Kickstarter about a week and a half ago, I think it was, right before I reached out to you, and I realized that we weren't going to actually, I never like giving away that we've pre-recorded our shows, of course, but Dean and I rarely get together during the December month to manage to record new shows.
But as John Allen Simon said, the smell of lavender makes it all more worthwhile, really.
but so two things we didn't get to discuss that I am reminded of by listening to today's Midweek Drive. Dean, of course, got a private tour of the Los Angeles Zoo this last week, and I am eager to hear how that went. So there might be, obviously, again, a transatlantic tie-in regarding the Los Angeles Zoo. But the other thing that I didn't get to discuss with you, and eager to discuss with you because I know of your fondness, not only for science fiction, but for the actress Scarlett Johansson, I finally caught up with a magnificent science fiction film from the UK earlier this year, Under the Skin.
Yes. Well, that,
did you see this film?
That and, of course, Joaquin Phoenix's Her, which is also featuring the voice of Scarlett Johansson, in which the character that Phoenix portrays actually falls in love with his operating system. Something I know that frequently is open to all sorts of things.
The difference is that, that one of those films is really, really narratively groundbreaking, breaking down the constructs of how we generally glean meaning from visual images, and features really a transcendent performance by Scarlett Johansson, and is really a film within the genre that will be, I believe, remembered forever, as long as there are science fiction films. And the other one was a movie called Her. So that would be the difference between the two of them.
Yeah, indeed so. I must admit, I haven't watched the whole thing through as yet. I have it on DVD. I'm about to actually sort of work through that. I've caught that. It's looking very interesting. It's quite a it's an interesting take, and obviously it's low budget, but we don't need a budget when you've got a marvelous cast and indeed a narrative structure that works on the whole way forward within that.
And you know, the thing that they do that's so great, you know, and probably was motivated by the limitation of budget, but the way that they will go from the literal experience of what's happening to the figurative. I mean, it's truly, it's not just as visual art often is, where the scene taking place can best be understood symbolically. No, the action is truly placed in a figurative depiction. So you go from the experience as you could believe that it was happening to a belief in what that experience would feel like. And it's truly amazing. I heard a great review, or read a great line. I wish it was from Richard Fitzwilliams, but it was not. It was from another reviewer in the UK, and whose name is escaping me at the moment. But it was, if Michelangelo Antonioni had directed 1995's Species, it would be Under the Skin. And I thought that was a really great one-line description of the movie.
Absolutely. Sorry, we were just getting a sort of slight sort of conversion in a whole range of things there, which necessitated me momentarily actually sort of dropping the microphone and then sort of paying attention to the whole thing. But you're quite right. I mean, directed by Jonathan Glazer, opening up a whole range of things. Scarlett Johansson is an alien seductress who preys on men in Scotland. Well, if you're going to prey on men, why not go to Scotland? That's our official line in the whole sort of system.
It is one of those films that I really love, where when you think you know where it's going, it suddenly turns on its ear, and characters you find yourself rooting against, you suddenly find yourself developing great empathy for. And I always think that, you know, here's a film as science fiction does the best, and then I'll leave the movie alone, because honestly, I don't own stock in it, so it's not like I'm getting paid to help them.
We'll come back to the whole thing. Carry on.
But one of the things that, you know, I love best about science fiction, and I know you do, is that you know, where there seems to be no better genre historically and in current times to ask fundamental questions about what it means to be human than in a science fiction genre. And sometimes you need an alien to fall to Earth in order to be allowed to ask those questions of what it means to be human under the skin. And that's what the movie does. It's terrific.
Makes perfect sense. We've just had a text from Jessica Ward saying, "I'm so sorry, !" in a New Zealand way. I forgot to tell you I have a netball game in Birmingham. Had we known, Katie Grimerson could have gone and supported her. Therefore, she's missed the show. Hopefully she hasn't caused any major problems. Well, no, nothing that we can't solve by pressing a judicious button.
The Lincoln Christmas Market comes to town this week, and Siren FM and Lincoln City Radio will be there.
We'll bring you the opening ceremony live from the cathedral on Thursday at 6 o'clock.
On Friday night, Drive Time at 6 comes live from our stand on Westgate.
And on Saturday morning from 10, look out for Lucy and Ed as they take a stroll through uphill Lincoln to discover the stories behind the market.
The Lincoln Christmas Market 2014 on Siren FM 107.3 and Lincoln City Radio 103.6.
See you there.
I know after you've checked out the LA Zoo, you'll be flying over to actually just check that whole sequence out, Phil, so I felt it was important that you got that little promo in there. Anyway,
I am excited, as you know. I'm really intrigued. I am really intrigued by the Christmas Market. I mean, it makes me want to live... There.
Live
during the month of December.
Precisely. Do you know what Richard Fitzwilliams is going to be talking about tomorrow? Probably not, because he might not have that power of prescience. But he's actually going to be saying Bond 24, the movie's most winning formula, announcement 11 a.m. UK time, Pinewood. Do we need James Bond, asks Richard Fitzwilliams. We know some of the cast and crew, Daniel Craig, Sam Mendes, of course, as the director, Lee Seydoux, brilliant in Blue is the Warmest Colour, Ralph Fiennes, Naomi Harris, Ben Whishaw, etc. But Bond used to thrill us in Goldfinger and Thunderball, action, sexy scenes, wit. He then became dreary, predictable, women, gadgets, no story, witless, rather silly and sexist. Pierce Brosnan looked the part, but the material needed updating very badly. a man of obviously opinions, Richard Fitzwilliams. We'll find out about that tomorrow morning. But meanwhile, as we progress onwards and I juggle through all sorts of other bits and pieces, listening to Chill Pack Hollywood, I feel, is more of a lifestyle choice than a sort of decision just to download a podcast. And maybe you should actually consider introducing this. I know I don't really contribute in terms of live messages to you guys, but I do think maybe you should consider, how do people listen to their Chill Pack Hollywood edition? You know, we might sort of echo this with a bit, if you're listening on podcast, which obviously some of our folk do and appreciate that because of time zones, etc., how do you actually listen to a Chill Pack Hollywood routine? Yesterday, for instance, I listened to it whilst actually sort of doing some planning and preparation for future academic work. It was a nice little background area that was there, which sort of helped pique my interest in terms of SF and so on. In the office, it was.
Well, you know, actually reaching out to people, which we did quite a few years back now, but about how they listened to the show is what, in part, led to us changing the name from The Heart of Hollywood to Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, because prior to that time, we had always had a variable running time. It was basically, we'll talk until we're done, and we had shows as short as 22 minutes and sometimes a couple of hours in length.
Outrageous.
And it was often revealed to us through people who listened that their favorite shows had nothing to do with content, it had to do with duration. They wanted shows that were close to 1 hour so that when they were listening to them at the office, they would know when an hour was
there. We are. Exactly. It's like an egg timer of broadcasting. That's the key thing. An egg timer of broadcasting.
I'm putting that on our t-shirt.
There
the
you
egg
go.
Egg timer of broadcasting.
Yeah. Next week, looking ahead, teasing ahead, we have not just Annette Andre, but possibly Annette Andre and Arthur Weingarten. Whilst we're hurling bouquets across the Atlantic, we want to send a huge, huge get well message to Celeste Yarnell. Celeste has been quite poorly. She had a fairly serious operation just recently. Actually, it was, I think, earlier. Well, it was yesterday, in fact, in Hollywood Times. So we send our very best wishes to both Celeste Yarnell, of course, known to many for her roles in Land of the Giants, Man from Uncle, Star Trek, fantastic individual, and of course key nutritionist, and of course partner Nazim. But Celeste, I've already said you best wishes, and I'm sure as you were photographed with Celeste holding up the Midweek Drive sign, the Southside Broadcasting sign at a convention, you'd also share that best wishes, positive energy vibe, wouldn't you?
Well, I would. She is an absolute treasure, and beyond that, you know, I can hear voices you know, saying, oh, but Celeste advocates so many different nutrition practices, so many different health practices.
Yep.
She's such a spokesperson for this. Where did it get her? It got her health problems. No, there are people who think this way, and I would like to say, you know what? Celeste will recover.
Yep.
She will be better than ever. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that the recovery will be as speedy and as full as it is because she was in such great health prior to encountering this. And that's the thing. We can't do anything in this life to prevent health problems from befalling us. But you know what? We can do a great deal in terms of making sure that we are able to withstand them and to recover in a speedy fashion and make a full recovery. And we do that through things like...
And I have to ask the question, Phil. Was that your tummy or was it Fuzz Aldrin?
Is there a difference?
Cue the universe.
Being fair and reasonable will earn you respect and admiration, but being genuinely kind will make you a total love magnet. Pucker up the universe.
Do you know, that's wrapped up the Midweek Drive for today, where we thank Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Paul Terry, Kate Hilliard, Carolina Hoyos, and Phil Leonis, and of course Emma Tinson. And you, dear listener, for being part of the whole experience and joy. In fact, actually, there's no time to really squeeze in any music because I've got to ask you those last two questions, Phil Leonis. And we know what they are, but normally it's delivered by a Midweek Drive. It's okay. Things change in all sorts of ways. So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
As I become ever more chronologically gifted, my enjoyment only increases, Alex.
Good, like that. Very nice. Very positive. So I take it then you'll be back with us probably same time next week?
Same time, same pajamas.
You see, that's Phil Leonis, Annette Andre, probably the wonderful Arthur Weingarten as well, before he goes in for a little operation, so plenty of positive lines for it from that point of view. And, yes, Rachel and Rosie, that's Rosie and Rachel, will hopefully be joining us from the On Broadcast Company in London. We'll be sharing some of the exciting things that they'll be doing together with, of course, Cameron Tilbury and Anna Lewis. We probably will have Sophie Grayson back with us. Emma Tinson probably will be back, hopefully, as well. Positive vibes for Anna, I remember, because she's sort of working through that. And Jessica Ward as well. So that is all there. A little look ahead. 2 weeks from now, on the 17th of December, we will be featuring Penny Evans's latest piece of music. Yeah. Sharp intake of breath. But yes, we'll be featuring Penny Evans' Christmas single. You might say, why not tonight then? Why not next week? Because Penny won't be able to join us then. And she said, can you wait until the 17th? I said, for you, Penny, of course. You know, we can...
You don't want to overshadow... You can't overshadow the opening of the Christmas party.
This is it. This is the bottom line, you know, which, of course, Nikki and Ed and Andrew will be doing their duties tomorrow night. In fact, they'll probably have done their duty by tomorrow night. Maybe they'll just be starting. It'll be very cold, so I'd wrap up warm and use the thermals. Unlike Los Angeles, in which, you know, thermal underwear, it's probably not needed at this time of day. But still, life continues. Phil, it's been a blast as ever. The news coming up from Osirin News Centre, or from the Sky News Centre. That's it. We're out of here. No Craig Wiley, because he's sorting out one or two other bits and pieces so much, and more music as the show proceeds. We'll see you again tomorrow morning for the 8 o'clock Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Can you say goodbye, Phil Linus?
Goodbye, Phil Linus.
Sport on Siren 107.3 FM.